Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talkin'.
It is what it is.
What up, family? Peace. We are back. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is Rigel.
Hotep Abarigani, Assalamu Alaikum. It's Brother Montoya, a.k.a. Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio, y'all. We are back again for another, hopefully, to share some constructive dialogue with the family, some that you can build on, some that you can take away from this Collective Minds Radio, where we say we all ain't got to think alike, but we all got to think. And we got a fun show lined up for y'all today. We kind of took a break from the politics, and we're going to dive into some relationship topics. So, Collective Minds, again, this is not a spectator sport. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. But before we get started, Queen Rigel and Brother Mufasa, how was y'all week? And do y'all got any announcements for us?
A lovely, lovely week. Busy, as always, but, you know, I keep it simple. I try to anyway. Keep it pleasant and simple and positive. No announcements, just encouraging everybody to stay positive. That's it.
Yes, indeed. My brother Mufasa, how was your week, my brother? And do you got any announcements for us?
Yeah, all was well with me as well. You know, surviving, on the grind, working hard for the black people in America.
Indeed.
One announcement, which I sent to y'all last night, just I don't know if y'all had heard about them 30 more tombs that they dug up in Egypt, quote-unquote Egypt. You know, in my circle, we like to call it Kemet. But dug up 30 more coffins of, I call, my ancestors. And I don't know if y'all got a chance to check that out, but I don't know if it's you know, a scam, if they're just trying to, you know, stir up more tourism over there or whatnot. But either way, if it's not a scam, you know, I'm really getting, I'm just feeling a certain type of way against with them steadily digging up our ancestors out of their graves. You know, I don't agree with that, with that behavior. And I was going to ask how y'all felt about that.
No, I don't agree with it. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times, you know, a lot of times they be, it be curses on folks when they get to digging up them graves. I know with the King Tut, when they dug up King Tutankhamun, his grave, like the people that was involved, a lot of them died, you know, mysteriously or had these illnesses come on. So, you know, a lot of the stuff the ancestors put in place to protect them from, you know, people like this that just go in, these tomb raiders, you know, they go in and just disregard the you know, the artifacts and don't really handle them with care as if there was something, you know, sacred, which they are. You know what I'm saying? These are sacred sites. So, yeah, I don't agree with that. You feel what I'm saying? I do agree with, you know, because we do want to do archaeological research and try to, you know, figure out what's what and try to get a timeline and, you know, just collect data. But there's a way you can go about that to where you still showing respect, you know, to these particular tombs and these sacred sites. So, you know, that's just my take on it.
Yeah, they said this was the last discovery like this in years. Like they said, the last one was in 1891. Something of this magnitude. I saw them open up two of them. And man, the way they had the bodies wrapped and everything, I mean, it was beautiful. You know, so, but like I said, I still feel a certain what type of way about disturbing the grave sites like that.
Right, and it's amazing that after all this time, they still finding new discoveries. You know what I'm saying? It's
whole
still
city.
Places and whole cities. It's places inside the pyramids that ain't even been went through yet. You know, in modern times. So that's just amazing that that type of civilization, which is the greatest civilization that we know of in recorded history, and you know they're still finding things. You know, within those sites. So I just think that's amazing in itself. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, Roger, did you have a comment on that?
I mean, you guys pretty much touching everything that I was saying, because I don't really think, I think, you know, sometimes we just do too much. And it doesn't bring more clarity, you know. It just bring more answers. I mean, questions. You know, it's not. You may think it's simplifying things, but it's just bringing more questions. You know, they doing all. It's just you know, just live. You know, it's. I feel like you guys. I'm not really supportive of it. You know, digging it up and disrupting and disturbing. You know, energy and things like that. But hey. It is what it is.
Yes,
these are the times that we're living in. And this is
right.
how humanity, you know, how this is how humanity is. This is what we do, we explore. So,
yes, indeed. Okay. Speaking of the times that we live in, I just want to put this on record because we talked about the attack on masculinity, right? And I say in specific, Black masculinity is under attack. So this week, GQ magazine released a cover with Pharrell Williams on the cover. Now, Pharrell is the rapper, producer, you know, from the group Nerds. And, he's done a lot of work within the music industry. So GQ released a cover or released an issue with him on the cover in what looks like a dress coat. I don't know what it is. It really looks like a dress, right? So they released this cover, and on the cover it says, now, I wouldn't have had a problem with the cover per se, but the title threw me off. They titled this cover The New Masculinity, as if being masculine is putting on a dress. And they have a Black man representing this particular picture in a dress called The New Masculinity. Now, I personally have a problem with that particular title. I had posted some on my social media, and I have been going back and forth for days with folks about this, about the agenda. I mean, the agenda is real, and if you can't see that there's an agenda with this, gender fluidity and, you know, you can be whatever you want. It's how you feel. And there is no male or female gender. It's just how you feel at this point and all this nonsense that people are coming with. And I just want to put this on record because, like I've always stated, I don't think, you know, too many people care if you identify as gay. No one cares. Do your thing. You know, live your best life. Knock yourself out. What I was trying to convey is that behavior is abnormal. You see, now people may take, now abnormal doesn't necessarily mean bad or wrong. I'm not even approaching this from a moral standpoint or, you know, from a Judeo-Christian standpoint. I'm simply saying sex can only occur between a man and a woman, period. That's it. That's the end of the story. That's the only time that sex can occur. So if you're engaging in homosexual behavior, like Nelly Fuller says, That is anti-sex behavior because you're not having sex. You're not procreating. You're just doing it strictly on the animalistic pleasures of sex. And you have that right. But don't try to force this particular lifestyle in the general public and put it out there as if it's normal or as if it's some alternative, right? Alternative lifestyle. Alternative to what? You dig what I'm saying? So, you know, I just wanted to put that out on record. I don't know if y'all seen that particular issue, if you got some comments on it, but it just amazes me that people can defend this stance. Now, you can do as an individual what you want. Like I say, people have all type of sick fetishes and decadent things that they do when it comes to sex. That's on them. No one cares. And you can throw homosexuality within that class. You know, you can throw that with people getting defecated and peed on because there's people that like that. You dig what I'm saying? There's people that like to sleep with animals. You dig? There's people that like to be kicked in their pride. Like, it's just all, the list goes on and on of deviant sexual behavior that people engage in. And homosexuality is a part of that. So I take offense when the society or when these major corporations and, you know, even the government, when they try to push that as something normal, and in the educational system as well, when they try to push this on our kids and push this as something normal. So I just wanted to put that out there. This is abnormal behavior. No one cares if you're gay. Do your thing. But this is abnormal, and you're not going to tell me anything different. That doesn't mean that gay people are bad. They should be beat up. You know, that doesn't mean any of that. You know, just don't try to push that on society. When the society tries to make an abnormal behavior normal, then that's when you see the society start to decline. You dig what I'm saying?
Well,
so
I also,
put that out
too,
because
I agree. But well, I want to add another word to that. It's not natural. It's not
right.
A natural act. It's just not natural because they try to debate the whole normal thing, you know. But it's not natural in the sense that's not how naturally we were designed to explore that way. Because like you just stated, you can't reproduce, you know, in that fashion. You know, and that's what the function of sex is. I know we use it for other things, for pleasure and all that, but it's only, the pleasure is only attached to it because we have to reproduce.
Right.
You're not
going
to have a baby if the pleasure is not attached to it. You're not going to have a baby. So that's why it's so intoxicating and so enjoyable. You know, because it's designed to psychologically, you know, get the two people to be to do it so they can produce. If having sex was just as painful as having the baby, I don't think we would even came this far in the world.
Exactly.
You know, so it's definitely not a natural act.
Yeah, I agree with everything y'all said. I ain't even got to go too far. I agree with everything
y'all
said, 100%. I'll just add this, though, because maybe we could do a show about this, you know, maybe even next week. But to kind of veggie back with what Roger just said, I'm curious, I'm just going to go on and say it, forget it. When you have two men... You have two men that engage in the intercourse, right? You, I would think that would be painful. Like you say, to one of these men when they getting, you know, penetrated in their backside.
Right.
So I'm curious to hear what one of these men would say with you know, using your analogy, because I would think that would hurt. And if that would hurt, I wouldn't want
to engage
in that like that.
It can hurt every time, because if it hurt every time, I doubt it if they will even continue to do it. I've heard even women speak about anal intercourse. And they,
right.
they, I've heard people, women say that they love it. So it's probably like, you know, breaking in a virgin or something. I reckon maybe initially it may be there's some discomfort there, but after a while, you know, you still the pleasurable, you know, sexual act. I think they still get that, you know.
Right. But the bottom line, it wasn't designed for that.
Exactly.
And there's nothing you can
get
out of that. Yeah, you're not reproducing anything, so that is anti-sex behavior. But, you know, anywho, I just wanted to put that out there. Also, another thing, because there was a picture, just real quick. Dwayne Wade posted a picture. Dwayne Wade is a basketball player, I think, for the Miami Heat or whatever. He's married to Gabrielle Union. He posted a picture of him, Gabrielle, holding their youngest daughter and his son. And he put my girls on there. And that kind of had the internet up in arms as well. He put my girls on there, basically referring to the his son, Gabrielle Union, and their other daughter as his girls. So this is all part of the agenda. And, you know, if people can't see that and see that there's an attack, a blatant attack that's going on, you know, you may need glasses, put it like that. You know what I'm saying? And we're heading into 2020, so get your vision right and understand what's going on, you know, out in these streets, you know, so you can protect yourself and your family. But I digress. You dig. So, yeah, this topic, family, this Collective Minds Radio, give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. Today we are talking about, you know, what are some of the best ways to co-parent if you have a situation where, you know, you and your ex may not be on the same page, y'all may not be seeing eye to eye, y'all may have disagreements, so on and so forth. What are the best ways to co-parent when there's a child involved? And this conversation kind of sparked from a private conversation that Collective Minds had, so we just wanted to bring that to the family, you know, just to share some thoughts, just dialogue, and, you know, hopefully, you know, you can get some out of the conversation. Like I said, give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. And we just get right into it. Yeah, so what do you guys, I mean, you know, what are some of the best ways to co-parent? Now, for me, I could start off like this. Basically, you know, when you're co-parenting, my main thing is because I'm a black male, I address the black community. And one of my main things, if at all costs, keep the courts and the government out of our business, right? That goes back to being on code, to where we finding out that, you know, we really shouldn't be calling up police and dealing with them unless it's an extreme emergency. So I kind of take that, you know, approach with dealing with family issues, right? If there's a family issue, the last thing you want to do is get the courts involved in your business. Number one, it costs money. You dig what I'm saying? It costs resources. And number two, you know, as adults, we should be able to talk things out, especially when there's a child involved. You know what I'm saying? We should be able to come to some type of agreement, you know, give a little, take a little, just negotiate as adults. That way you keep those people out of your business because they don't necessarily have the child or the family's best interest in mind. You know what I'm saying? So ideally, I would say my number one thing is if you can work something out as far as, you know, payments or child support, as far as visits, you can do that on your own, you know, between the man and the woman. You can do that on your own without getting the courts involved. But a lot of times in our community, in the black community, we take that route to where, okay, I'm just throwing my child support, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, instead of trying to have those dialogues and conversations. So I'm not putting it on either you know, man or the woman. I'm just saying we need to come together in that sense to work out those issues on our own without getting the state involved in those affairs. You know what I'm saying? So that would just be one thing that I would put out there first and foremost as far as how to deal with co-parenting, and that is leave the state out of your business if at all possible. You dig what I'm saying? But, you know, I just leave that right there. Rigel, or I guess we'll go to Rigel first since we always go to the woman. What do you think?
Well, the best way, the best method to co-parent is it starts before the child. It starts during the courting session. When you picking the right person, when you picking the person, you have to understand the type of people. And I know this is easier said than done, so I'm gonna say that first. I have a co-parent, so I'm not just, you know, pointing fingers, you know, but it starts when you are picking someone to be with. You have to understand the personality of the individual. Yes, people can change, but initially you want to definitely have an understanding, a clear understanding of the type of person that you're dealing with. Because just like you said, try to negotiate. Well, we already know we don't have – everybody can't negotiate. Just by default, they just don't – they just not good at it. So you're going to have people in relationships. A relationship don't automatically change you and make you a father or a husband or something. Or it don't make you that because you're saying, okay, I'm in a relationship. So if the individual is still is a messed up individual and have a certain way of thinking and do things just a little bit differently, then you have to know and think ahead. If I have a child with this person, these are the things that I could potentially have issues with if we have to separate. As an example, you guys have heard me talk a lot before about certain type of men that I will definitely stay away from. If I feel like or believe or you show me in any way that you are the type of man that will call me outside my name, you know, call me names or be disrespectful towards me or children or other women, no. Absolutely not. I will not. I don't have time for that. So the same way with other things, if we notice certain things that is important to us in the long run, it may be worth to say, hey, you know what? Because it's just the truth of the matter. You know, I know we trying to figure out once we have the child, how do we do it? But I just want to say, if there's anybody out there that don't have children that's listening, please. Start thinking about that even beforehand, because sometimes we can just get a hold to some lunatics and we're not thinking ahead. We're not thinking about, oh, this guy, this girl is silly. Oh, he's ignorant or she's ignorant. And when it carries over, when you guys have to separate, that if they haven't changed themselves, that ignorant is going to carry over to how you're going to now have to deal with that person when you're not with them. And it's just what it is. So I think it's important that we recognize the people that we're dealing with just off top. And then I can interject other ideas as the show goes on. But I think that is important right there. I know by then, shoot, we talking about when it's too late. But, hey, I want to throw that out there too.
Ah, yes, indeed. Yeah. That's a great point. That's a great point. My brother Mufasa, what are your thoughts? Mm-hmm. And, you know, what do you think some of the best ways to co-parent if the, you know, mm-hmm. two parents are not you know, on the best terms?
Well, I appreciate what Roger said that, because that's true. If you can hash out these things in the beginning before you even get the other interest,
right,
man, that's the perfect way to handle it. You know, but
yeah,
I'm gonna touch on when those break down. Because that happens quite often. You know, mm-hmm. you meet Sally, or, you know, you meet someone, and, you know, you may think that's the right person, or she will, honestly, you might just been having a, you know, what I call the heat of the moment. We caught up in the heat of the moment, and bam, this child come along. So the thing is, I will say, when you're with someone and y'all can't seem to get along, you can't seem to meet eye to eye, I will say this is where righteousness has to come into play. And you have to put righteousness at the forefront and do what's right for the child. You know, from a man point of view, dealing with a female who you don't see eye to eye, you know, no telling what type of issues she have going on where you want to do, you want to do a certain type of way, she want to do something different, and y'all can't get along. It's always an argument. It's always combative. And, you know, eventually you have to have to cut your losses with that person and do what's right for the child. And even though I agree with Brother Kev and what he says about not taking it to the court system, you know, at some point, if you be dealing with a crazy, you may get forced in that situation to where you have to go ahead and, you know, bring the court system involved, divide up the time with this child so that you have your time with the child, they have their time with the child. So, like I say, I'm talking about when all else fails, what Brother Kev and Sister Rodney said, because that's the perfect, that's what they said was right in that. What I'm talking about is when all else fails, when everything breaks down. And when it does, you know, at the end of the day, you have to do what's best for that child. You may have to do some things that you really don't want to do. So you got to get some courts involved just to keep from getting into it with that particular person. You know, it is what it is. You may have to do that because you don't want to sit up and be constantly arguing with this other parent. The organ in front of the child, because that's not going to get anywhere. You know, people can be stubborn, stuck in their ways, and you don't want to get into a situation where it may become physically abusive. You know, that's all bad for the parent and the adults.
Everybody,
so,
right.
Yeah, for everybody. So you will hope that both parents will want to do what's right for the child and be able to communicate. If both parents will do that, things will work out great, but you know, a lot of us can be ignorant, you know, getting our feelings and putting our feelings before the child's feelings. And when that happens, the other parent hopefully has to realize, man, okay, you're not doing what's right by the child, so I got to take this a step further. I got to get some outside entities involved here in order to do what's best for the child. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. The child did not ask to be here. You know, so you want to do what's right and exact.
Well, hold on,
child.
Man. I think they did.
Oh, man.
What?
I think we all asked to be here. When we chased that egg, we hunted that egg down. We was trying to be the first in line. And we all made it. We all won. Everybody here won the race because we wanted to get to the egg.
Right. All right, yeah, that's another.
We all wanted to be here.
Show. Right. That's another one.
Yeah, we had to dive into that on another one. Definitely. That's going to open up a whole another conversation right there.
Well, if I forget, yeah,
but you
know.
Oh, yeah, I was top of the class.
You won.
I was top of the class, baby. My tail.
Yeah.
we all
now,
won.
Right. Now you said something interesting too, Mufasa, which reminded me of a quote from Dr. Frances Quest Wilson, you know, rest in power to her. But she often said that when two people play with sex, the joke is on the children. Right?
Yeah.
When two people play with sex and create a child, you know, the joke is often on the child. You know, basically saying that you have to keep, you know, that child in mind. Okay, things got hot. You know, we didn't ask all the questions like Roger said. You know, we just was in the moment and we produced this child. How is the best way that we can raise this child? You know what I'm saying? So that would just be my other point. And I guess we can get one more point, and then we'll go to the call lines, family. This Collective Minds, give us a call, 929-477-1697. We are talking about the best ways to co-parent. So, yeah, that leads me to my next piece of advice, which Mufasa just touched on, and that is keep the child in mind, right? You know, the other parent may piss you off. You may get mad. You may get heated. But at the end of the day, you know, what do you want for the child? And I think sensible parents would want what's best for the child. You know what I'm saying? So that goes with, you know, you may have to bend. You may have to, you know, concede a little bit. But at the end of the day, you want what's best for the child, and you have to pick your battles, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't fight every battle, you can't win every battle, but you can win the war. So you have to pick and choose the battles that you fight, in order to produce the best situation for the child. You know what I'm saying? And just in my particular situation, I'm married. You know, I married my wife, and she had a son outside of our marriage, and we had two other daughters. But we have a situation where she has to deal with, you know, her son's father. And I have to deal with him by default because we're married. And, you know, they had a little situation, but I try to explain to her, like, you know, you guys are two adults. You both want what's best for your son, so y'all should be able to come to some type of agreement, and whatever thing as far as relationship wise that y'all had going on in the past, that has nothing to do with you two raising this son, you know, raising your son, co-parenting your son. That has nothing to do with it. You can't bring what somebody hurt you in a relationship. You cannot bring that here. Number one, that's in the past. You dig what I'm saying? Number two, you have a child to raise, and he's getting older and older, and, you know, you want to produce the best situation for that. You know what I'm saying? So that's my other advice would be just keep the child in mind as you move forward, and you ain't got to fight every battle. You know what I'm saying? You can kind of concede and give and take and just, you know, figure out what's what. Try to communicate. Try to figure out the best way to get this person to bend as well. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to soften people up. You know, you can catch more bees with honey than vinegar with flies. However the saying goes. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
More bees with honey. So sometimes you may have to figure out, okay, how can I soften this person up? I know how they are. They just piss me off, but I'm going to be the bigger person on this one just so, you know, we can do this for our child. So,
yeah,
you know,
new,
I just leave
that's
it right
a new
there
one for me to be thinking like that. How can I soften this person up? Because my tactic, and I'm going to just say what my tactic is, but not saying that, hey, this is what everybody should do, because everybody's different. My tactic is to not say or come from the standpoint, okay, let's see, how can I soften this person up? This person is really one of the last things that's on my mind. My mindset is, these are my children. I'm an adult. I don't need anybody to tell me what to do, how to do it. I'm going to be a parent to my kids, and that's what I'm going to do. To the father, if you know who we are, I would never close my door to you, never shut my phones off to you. I'm not. You have to have that same attitude as the second parent to say, I'm going to do what I have to do for my child. If you leave me out your whole thinking, thought process, and I would do the same. And if we can just learn how to just do that, forget what, like we've already mentioned, forget what happened in the past. But I'm saying these are my kids. I'm going to do what I have to do for my kids. And if that's all everybody has to think like. I don't have to think about you. You don't have to think about me. Think about you doing what's best for your kid. You getting ready to raise your child. You have a child, and now I have to do what I have to do to be a parent. I ain't
okay,
talking about.
Okay, look at this. Now,
let me think. Let
right,
me let
real,
me think of something to butter you up. You're the last person on my mind. You ain't.
But look,
you know?
Let me ask you this though. Let me ask you this scenario, because I've heard this, and this is, you know, hypothetical. Say you had a scenario where you just had a kid, and you have a deadbeat dad on your hand, but you know that he's in a new relationship. This woman has kids, and he's doing, you know, taking care of them. He's being a father over there, but he's totally neglecting your child with you. How do you, how would you handle that particular situation?
Okay, well, first off, if he's a deadbeat, then he's probably not trying to be involved in my child's life anyway. And guess what? I'm still here for my child. Like I said before, I'm pushing on. I'm not going to try to make another grown person do nothing. At the end of the day, he'll be the loss, because this is why I brought what I brought up in the beginning, why it's so important. Like I said again, I'm going to say it again. I know it's easier said than done, but that's why I said in the beginning, it's so important to know the person, because if I have a shortcoming and by my own lack of good judgment, I choose a man that's a deadbeat, then that's, I did that. So I'm not getting ready to now try to turn around and correct what I did years ago. Nope, I'm going to keep moving forward. It's unfortunate, baby girl, baby son, your dad not here. I'm going to do what I have to do to comfort my child, and we're moving on, because I don't need him at the end of the day. If he's there, that's great.
Right.
He should be there, supposed to be there. However,
right.
My point by saying I don't need him is really what I'm saying is I can live and do for my child without him. And I'm not getting ready to try to hold a grown man's hand and tell him what
right.
he should do for his child. I'm not going to do that. That's too much responsibility, and he's not my son.
Let me ask you a quick question to add with that situation, because we do need to do some scenarios. I hope the callers call in with some scenarios as well. But how do you deal with the same situation? You know, say he's a deadbeat, but this particular father, when he do come around, you know, he try to come around and he, you know, pretend like he's down for the kid, but when he come, he really don't be there to see the kid. He really just coming and he trying to get in your pants again. You know, he got something else over here. Every time he show up, you know, he say, hey, how you doing? You know, pretend like he interested in the child. But you see it go from there. He always trying to initiate the conversation with you, always trying to fill up on you. You ever had something, you ever heard something like that? How would you deal with that situation?
Personally, that's a very complicated question to answer, because I think, for me to give a full, honest answer, I will have to have a better understanding of his behavior. Is he real aggressive? Is he rude? Or is he just, you know, may make little flirtatious comments or something like that? You know, because there's different ways to combat it, especially as females. Females, we get hit on a lot, so it's easy to ignore certain things and just like, okay, well, here's your son, you know, thank you, and just kind of ignore it and bypass. You don't have to feed into every thing that he is doing or saying, you know. So just on a surface way of thinking, it's like if I know that, you know, but when he come, he's not being overly aggressive to the point where I'm uncomfortable. If he just maybe, you know, give a comment here or there and it's something that I can deal with his behavior, then it's fine. He, you know, comes to his child. Now, I will have a if it's something that can be looked over. Some behavior can be looked over and needs to be addressed. That's why I said I'm have to need to know more. But I will, as an adult, have a conversation, because I'm not just going to be like, hey, yeah, come anytime you want this. You know, so I will have a conversation, and the way that I carry myself and just vice versa, how we all will carry ourselves also plays a major role in how the other person will interact with us as well. You know, so I would, if I need to have a conversation with a behavior where, you know, he's here one day and he wants to come over and hang out, no, and then I'll just take, you know, more control if need be and say, hey, well, no, hey, let's meet here. Let's meet at a restaurant and let's just get something to eat, or let's meet somewhere versus, hey, yeah, come over to the house and hang out. No, let's meet at a place where it's the circus, the carnival, the zoo, and that way we can all interact at one time. You know, that's just one example, and there's other different ways, you know, that it can be done. But just to be like, yeah, let's come over to the house and hang out and watch TV, watch a movie.
Right.
Nah, that's a little questionable anyway, but, you know.
Right.
Yeah. You better get to the
y'all
top.
Y'all broke up for a reason. Yeah, y'all not together for a reason, so you just.
Right, we're not.
I
mean,
I think that really complicates. Yeah, that complicates the things, really.
Well, let's bring the callers in.
Yeah, let's bring the callers in. If you're just joining us, family, this is Collective Minds Radio. We are doing a relationship topic. We're talking about the best ways to co-parent. Please call up. You know, share your experiences, share your views. Give us some ideas because we want to have this in the catalog and in the archive so, you know, people can reference if they have co-parenting issues as well. So give us a call and let us know what you think. Let's hit the call line.
Okay, area code 319-572. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
No, just listening.
Okay,
yes, indeed.
Call
we
in,
appreciate
call.
You calling.
Okay,
okay. Area code 314-568. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
I'm just listening to.
Okay. Yes, indeed. Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Okay. Area code 315-767. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Hey there, y'all. I got a couple comments.
Hey,
Colin. What's up, bro?
Peace.
Yeah, the premise of the show, what's the best way to co-parent? That question is just like asking, what's the best way to drill a hole in your head? It doesn't.
Oh. Right.
It's
elaborate.
Be a question. It shouldn't be a question at all. And the fact that we have to sit here and ask a question like that shows where our community and where our civilization has gone towards. We're going down the drain fast, and it's government that's doing this to us, and we're allowing ourselves to do this, the government to do this to us, because we keep voting the policies into place that give women the option. Or give women the choice, and women love some resources and free resources, and to be free and wild like children. We allow those policies to get put in place that break up the family, that break up the home, and we put men in power. We empower men to take the strength away from other men at the behest of women who just want to get resources and do silly stuff. And I know it's not all just the women's fault, because of the degeneration of our generations have created a generation of men that don't know how to be men, that don't know how to be men. So they're just grown children too, because they didn't have fathers, because the government replaced their father. That welfare check, that independent women mind spirit, to where they don't have to listen to the man in the house anymore, and the man in the house can't father the child, even when you're together. Look, I've lost two children to these women. And even when I was living with the women with the children, my ability to father was compromised, because every time I would try to teach my child some responsibility or, you know, teach them that they can't have and do whatever they want to do, well, then you have mom come around saying, "Don't treat my baby like that." No, he's got to learn. He's got to learn his word is his bond. He's got to learn that there are boundaries.
Now, call it real quick. When you say you lost two children, what do you mean by that? As far as you lost them, you mean you don't see them anymore, or you know, just elaborate. What do you mean by you lost?
Okay,
them?
I have two children. I am the father of two children, but I do not get to father them, because they have been taken away from me by their mother and the state.
Gotcha.
The state allowed the mothers to take them away from me, because the mothers were not satisfied with the relationship. I wasn't making enough money, or I wasn't around enough, or I just wasn't, you know, because the harder you work to make money, the less time you're around. The more
That's
time you're around, the less money you're making. So there's
That's
no winning in this compromise. You're just slaving yourself away and driving your own self crazy trying to please a woman. Now, what I've learned is you can't please a woman, and it's not your job to please a woman. It's your job to raise and maintain a family. But the state now, like you said, the government has put its hands all in the community and all in the ability for a man to have a family. And the fact that women don't think logically, they think resources, and they think, like, in general, they think like children. And it's not their fault. It's just the way they're designed. They're designed like that so they can raise children.
So let me ask you this, Carla. Was it for, in your situation, was the best way for you to deal with and try your best to co-parent, even though I know you feel like you're not co-parenting, but in those situations, was it easier for you to just go ahead, you know, let the state deal with the kids and, you know, to bring some comfort to yourself, or did, you know,
so
was it better for you to try to fight to keep the kids? What was better for you?
Time,
what was your option?
The first time, all I could do was do my best to visit my child and call my child as much as I could. It's just a reminder that she has a father. Even though she has a stepfather who took real good care of her too, and I have no beef with that dude. I love that dude. That dude took good care of my daughter. It could have been a whole different type of situation. It could have been a man in her life that abused her and sexually did stuff to her, and he did not.
That's right.
He would have caused me to go to prison. He would have caused my life to end because I would have been there, and then that would have been that for me. It would have been a wrap.
That's right.
My son, on the other, you know, I can't see him as much right now because after this woman I was with ran me through the state, taking my child from me and separating from me and taking all my belongings and everything and leaving me in a money hole, I'm in a financial bind, and she lives far away, so my son is far away. So I can talk to him on the phone, but he's young, so he never wants to talk. So it is what it
right.
is. All I can do is call and remind me as a dad while I dig myself out of a hole so I can try to make a physical relationship with him, but he's too damn far away.
Right. So, look, now check this out, because here's the other scenario when it comes to co-parenting. So what are you going to tell him when he gets older and he may ask, okay, Dad, why weren't you there? You know, while I was
and
growing up or
whole,
whatever.
And that's the
what
thing
are you
of
going
it. That's
to
the
tell
thing
him.
Of it.
Yeah.
I will tell him the truth, but the problem is with me not being there to teach him the ways of being a man, to teach him logic and to get out of his emotions, because I'm not there to keep and put a cap on his ability to express emotion. He's going to go off, you know, he's going to be emotional. And with that emotion, he's going to work with feelings and not logic. So I can explain all I want to explain. He's still going to feel how he feels rather than understand what he's hearing and perceive it as thought and logical. And that's the problem I have with my daughter. My daughter, she's who she is, and I understand her, and she understands me. Now, my son, though, he's going to be confused and mixed up, but I'm going to still do my best because I try to talk to him now, and I have a hard time talking to him because if he doesn't like what I'm saying, he just hangs up. If he doesn't like our conversation, he just changes it because he doesn't
What's
have to
age?
Respect me. He's 9. And he doesn't have to respect me because I'm not in the household.
Yeah.
I'm not there. Mm-hmm. And he considers that he says I left them, even though it's they left me. I'm still in the same place I've been. They're the ones that left. But according to my son, I left them. According to everything, they left me, but it's the way it is.
Yeah.
But when he becomes old enough to actually ask those real questions, maybe he'll listen, maybe he won't. It is what it is.
Well,
I'm not going to badmouth his mom.
Community.
I'm not going to badmouth his mom and say that.
Yeah, I still commend you for at least maintaining the relationship, though, because some people, they would get frustrated. You know, some men, and
it's
women
very
that do it
frustrating.
Too, they get frustrated, and they totally walk away from the child.
Every day in my mind, every day in my mind, I just want to abdicate myself from the situation. But again,
like you said
earlier, it's not the child's fault.
Yeah,
right.
And it's not my fault.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my wife's fault. It's the society and the community that we live in today that allow women to just be children and make these irrational decisions that compromise the next generation.
Yep. I mean, that's a good point, because especially within Black community, you know, the strong Black woman narrative, that was real big, and it's just crazy because at the end of the day, you know, a better household is with two parents. Like, you really can't argue that point. Like, two parents is the ideal situation for a child.
Now, you want those parents, of course, to be get along and be loving and all that good stuff. But two parents in
the
household
is
good because you have that balance of the masculine and feminine, like you just talked about, Carla. When a woman can be more emotional, you have the masculine man there to kind of balance that off. You know what I'm saying? And he can bring the logic, not
logic
saying, of course,
and
women are logic, but you can bring all that. Yeah, you can bring those masculine traits to the table. That way the child has a healthy balance and he's not overly emotional because he's dealing with his mom and, you know, she may be going through some things with hormones and that has an effect on how the child is raised. You know what I'm saying? But when you
can
have that
see,
balance of
you
both,
can see the difference in a child between a child's mother, how a child acts with his mother and a child acts with his father. When my son was with me, he was calm, collective, and he was very rational. When he's alone with his mother, he has tantrums and fits, and people think he's crazy. And they're like, what's wrong with your kid? I'm like, it ain't nothing wrong with my kid. I don't have no problem with him. But she has meltdowns with him all the time and just lets him get his way with the mess. And me, I'm like, we ain't having none of that. We don't play that here. And we don't do that.
I do have to add this in. Now, we are talking about, you know, men who know how to be men. Because there are situations where you have men who don't know how to be men and don't know how to follow
the child. That's what I started with.
Right.
Most of
that's
this generation do not know how to be men because they're raised by women. You can't become a man. Well, you can. Like, in our family, my cousin Mustafa, you know, he was raised with his mother and his grandmother, and my father was raised by his mother. But my grandmother, my father's mother, Mustafa's mother, grandmother, she was very masculine for a woman. She ran her own business. She got him their ass. She held them accountable for their actions. She was a very masculine and independent woman, and she imbued masculinity into Mustafa and into my son. I mean, into my father. So even though they didn't have fathers, they had a very good upbringing to where they understood responsibility for their actions and how to work and do for themselves. But a lot of the women that are out here raising their children don't raise their children like that. They're on the welfare or they're out there collecting. They just don't have time to be with their children at all, and their children are being raised by the daycare system or raised by the school system or raised by just – and the school system and the daycares are not masculine, and they do not teach masculinity at all. They actually teach masculinity as something that's to be abandoned, to be left behind, because America does not want strong men. You cannot control strong men, and American politics, the people that run our government, want to be in control, and you can't control something that is strong.
Let me clarify something real quick, and I want to ask you one other thing, Carla. Because now I want to clarify now, my father, even though he wasn't in the home, and I didn't know he was, but my father was on the wild side, okay?
Yes.
My father would instill some things in me that I know a lot of people would not want to be instilled in their child. You know, he was a man's man, but he was a little bit on the wild, thuggish side, I have to admit. Love him dearly. Now, I want to ask you this, Carla. What do you say, what would be your advice to a female who had a child with a man who doesn't know how to be a man, who's emotional, acts like a woman, don't know how to raise a child? What would be your advice to her on how to deal with the situation?
That's a good question. Because that's not something that should be asked, because that's not something that should happen. But we're in a new age where it does happen.
Right.
There's all I can say is you made a mistake. Because we haven't evolved enough into being able a society like that, we're not bonobos yet. You know the difference between chimpanzees and bonobos? We have a matriarchal society with the bonobos, and then the chimpanzees have a patriarchy society. Well, we still are innately patriarchal, but we're sliding towards bonobo, but we don't know how to be that yet. So I don't have an answer to that. That doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand why a woman would want to have a child with a man that ain't worth a man, that's not a man, other than the fact that he looked good and he made her hot for that moment, and then she said, I'm going to trap him with this baby, and it didn't work, So now she's going to collect welfare and social security and you know, money.
I'm going to trap
and
her
that,
with this
and that's
baby.
Their goal.
I was just
a lot
say,
of women
let's
do
get,
that.
Let's get right.
A lot of women do that. A lot of women do that. Or you, Rigel, are again, you're kind of like our grandmother was. You are a very independent, strong-minded woman that thinks a little bit more rationally and logically than the natural woman. And, again, it's not their fault. It's nature and it's evolution that has designed a woman to search out resources and the finer things in a man where, you know, where they present to where they would make a person that they'd want to have a kid by. Nice pecs, strong abs, can tell a woman to shut up, and, you know, because women like to be put in their place a lot. They don't like to be beat, but they like to be, you know, they like to know that a man can stand up to her. Because if a man can't stand up to her, then how is he going to stand up for her? So when a man stands up to her, that turns her wrong because now she feels protected. Like she's got somebody that can protect her. He might be shit every other way, but he can tell her to shut up and he turns her on because he looks good. Next thing you know, she has a baby by him. But he ain't worth a darn other than the fact that he can tell her to shut up and looks good. And what do you say? What do you do now that there's a child? I have no idea. I have no clue because that's not the way
right.
we're supposed to work.
Yes, indeed. If you're just joining us, family, this is Collective Minds Radio. We are talking about some of the best ways to co-parent. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. Now,
yeah,
I do have this question.
An opportunity to answer that.
Oh, yeah, go ahead,
Ryan. I did want to have, yeah, I want. How would you deal with that, Ryan? How would you deal with a man who just don't know how to take care of? And it could be, you know, if you got a son or a daughter with him, but, you know, especially if you got a son and you slipped up and got pregnant by this dude who acts like a girl, he's not responsible, you know, he acts like a woman. How would you deal with him and your child?
Well, since I would first recognize, okay, I put myself in this situation because he didn't just start acting like a child or a little girl when the baby came. He was doing it beforehand. So I have to first come to a point where I acknowledge, okay, I made my bed, I lie in it. And like I said before, I'm personally the type of person just going to keep it moving. You know, I'm not going to try to I only raise my children. That's it. That's it. I'm not getting ready to try to raise another adult. So I'm not. It's not my responsibility to try to show this man how to be a man. That has to be his responsibility. He has to be the one to do that for himself. So, like I said before, these are my kids. That's how I'm going to look at it. I don't have to say, "Hey, these are our kids." Because the minute I say these are our kids, then that means I'm expecting him to do something. I think he should just automatically expect to do something on his own. He got to take his own responsibility. So since I feel like, okay, these are my kids, I'm going to do what I have to do to, you know, provide the best things for them, provide the best resources for them, make sure that they have the things that they need to the best of my ability. And what I do don't have nothing to do with him. What he, if he decides to take on that same mentality, then that means my kids just have a well-rounded life that's provided by me and the Father, and that's great. But if not, I'm not getting ready to turn around and go back years and try to raise somebody else's son. I have to acknowledge, okay, I made a mistake. I picked the guy. But, hey, I have a baby now. My priority is my child. And guess what? I'm doing this for my child. I'm not doing this for my child and the father. I'm doing this for my child, and that's how I'm going to handle it, me and what I'm doing for my child. I'm not going to sit back and wait on him. I'm not getting ready to go and try to make him do nothing. I'm not getting ready to have a conversation with him and try to advise him and cater to him. No, I'm going to keep it moving. And that's no matter what type of individual I may have a child with, regardless
now,
what type of man he is.
Now, you do understand that a child here being made here in America is totally up to the woman. It's totally up to the woman if a child is born, all the way down to the even just saying, yeah, you can have sex with me. Because if a man, if she doesn't even allow the man to have sex with her, then it's rape. But it's all the way down to being allowed to have sex with that woman. Then after the sex has happened, it's still up to the woman whether a child is born. All the way, and in New York City, all the way up until it's born, they can kill that baby as you know while it's being born. So it's still all the way up to a woman whenever a child is born, and then whoever they choose to have that child with. It's all that's all the woman's choice.
Yeah, but I also feel like
and then there's you know there's children out there that are born by men that didn't even have sex with the woman because, like, there's this dentist. There's a dentist, and there's an article on this where he got put on child support because his dental hygienist that was helping him, his assistant, she gave him some oral sex in the office, and he had a good day in her mouth, and she spit it out, and she put it in herself and had a baby.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
And that guy got put on child support. He didn't even have sex with her.
Dang.
That was all
crazy.
Up to the woman. And then she was mad because
I don't think it's all, and I understand what you're saying, but the reason I want to just offer another perspective on my point of view to that. Because, like I said before in the beginning, and I also feel like this, let me say this first before I refresh to what I said before. In my opinion, everybody's not going to agree with me, but my point of view is that the man is the head, he's the provider, meaning that, in other words, he's the aggressor. It's he who finds the wife. So I think the man point of view and perspective when it comes to dating and mating is a little bit different from a woman's. So when a man is choosing to seek out a woman, like I said before, you have to be, you know, very, I guess, discretion when it comes, you got to use good discretion when it comes to the type of woman that you are interacting with in any type of way, even if it's just what the little dentist did, in any type of way, because it wasn't just up to the woman. He chose to do what he did, too, to even allow himself to be in that situation. So he chose the wrong woman to do that with, because it ain't just her, it's both of them. Yeah, she did that, and she did ultimately end up, like you saying, had the choice to keep the baby and child and all that, but guess what? He who finds the woman, he found her, he allowed her to do it, and he put himself in that situation. Same way,
okay,
like I said, if I make my bed, I buy it. I'm lying.
Because how could he have not allowed her to do that?
Because he shouldn't have been, obviously he shouldn't have been, let me tell you, if she did that, think about the other things she would do. I'm saying, look at the character. A certain woman is not going to do that. That's deceptive. That speaks a lot about her character. So not picking a woman like that with that type of character is how he could have stopped it. That's where it stopped.
Yeah,
right. Picking the right type of person.
Right, right. Let's not get too far off topic, family.
That'd be a long conversation right there. Yeah, have another caller.
Yes, indeed. We don't want to get too far off topic.
Exactly,
because
there was so much more I could say with that.
I saw it going down a whole nother road. But we are talking about co-parenting and the best ways to co-parent when, maybe you and your ex are not seeing eye to eye. Now, I want to ask this question before we get to the call lines just real quick, and this is for both of my hosts, Queen Raiju and Brother Mufasa. Now, how do you handle a situation to where you have, two different rules in the household, right? Say, you have a child with this person. They allow the child to do certain things, but those things are off limit in your house. It could be a number of things. It could be, a child with a cell phone. Maybe you don't want your young child to have a cell phone. Maybe they think they should have a cell phone. It could be religious things. It could be, you're not a Christian. It could be the person is in a Christian household. Just different type of rules. How would you handle that? Do you just say, okay, when they're with them, they do their thing? Or would you try to talk to that person
and, you know, come to some type of compromise? How do you handle two different rules for the children in two different households?
You want me to go first, right? The first thing I would try to do is talk. I would try to talk to the parent and let them know, hey, you know, I don't agree with that behavior because of this.
Right.
You know, and I would give them the opportunity for us to go back and forth on it and see if we can come up with, you know, a solution for everybody. If that does not work, then what happens at my house, that's my rules. What you do at your house is your rules. So, you know, it is what it is. Just because you can go over your mother's house and watch TV to 3 a.m, she don't have a problem with
right.
that. When you come to my house, my rules apply when you're at my house. No, TVs go off at whatever the time may be. You know, but like I say, I would try to sit up and, you know, I would try to discuss whatever the situations are, whatever the, you know, the rules are with that other parent. If we can't come to an agreement, then still what goes on in my house, I'm the head of my house, so my rules apply at my house. And
right.
that's just how I got to go down.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. I agree largely, you know, to what he said, too, because at the end of the day, like I said again, I'm going to keep throwing this out there, when we make our bed, we lie in it. So if you got with an unevenly yoked person, y'all unevenly yoked, that's what y'all did. You did that. So you have to accept the differences in a big way. You got to accept it in a big way. And like Mufasa said, depending on the situation, yeah, you can go to the other parent and have a conversation and express concerns, but you can't just automatically expect them to see it your way and to change it. So if you guys are not together anymore, like Mufasa said, you made your bed, you gotta lie in it. So in your house, you do it the best way you can and have a conversation as your child get older and just provide, you know, different point of view so that way your child can have an understanding of a different way of seeing things, too. So you just got to pray that that child don't get the thing that you want and protect them from. You just got to pray that they don't, you know, get caught up because, again,
right.
you did that. You did that. You take that person.
Yeah, I want to add this, and I hope people don't get discouraged when they hear what Roger say, because, I mean, she's right in exactly that with you did it. You have to make your bed and lay in that with whatever that person was. I mean, it don't have to be the end
right.
of the world, like, oh, I got to kill this other person, or I got to kill myself. No, it's not the end of the world. You may have made the
right.
situation harder, but
yeah.
it's not the end
if
of the world.
You can get through
still
yeah.
do what's best for your child, you know?
Yep,
if you
exactly.
cannot
right.
get along with that parent, if you can't co-parent, can't get along with them, and you have to cut off, you know, certain conversations with them and just keep it strictly business, it is what it is. You don't have to continue to argue with them all the time. Just, you know,
yeah.
do what you got to do for your child. When your child come with you, love your child, be there for your child. When you have to send them back home or send them to the other parent, then, hey, you put, like Roger say, put that in God's hands, that thing is going to go to don't be okay with the child, and you have to block it out your mind, because I think some people can get frustrated and drive themselves crazy thinking like, oh, man, now that my baby know when they over here, I don't allow them to eat past 10 o'clock, you know, or past
right.
7 o'clock, and then they killing themselves because they know when I send my kid over there, they're going to be eating all kinds of nice, eating candy and all this type of stuff, you know, like Roger said. It is what it is. You made that situation. Don't
you should have picked somebody that's not so unevenly
yeah.
yoked, that y'all got,
yeah.
you know, more of the similar.
You just have to roll
so
with.
You know, they over there. Right, yeah, you do.
Yeah. Just got to roll with them punches. Send them on over there. Let them spend some time with their kids. When they come back, when the kid is at your house, your rules apply at your house.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. And I think, yeah, you want to hit the call line real quick?
Yeah, that's it. 314-568. Caller, you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or do you have a comment?
I'm a comment, but I was listening to y'all talking, and you were saying as far as picking the right person, just to start off, that's kind of almost an impossible thing to do, because you might have a situation and you might be a teenager or so, and you might be on a one-night stand or something, and you get a girl pregnant, whatnot, and now you're stuck with a child, so now you got to deal with it. But I'm going to also say, too, how my guy was saying, keep the courts out. See, me, I'm the type of guy, I do, not knocking my other half, but I do 70% of the daily routine with my kids. I drop my kids off at school. I pick my kids up, not knocking my other half, but my days are free, so I can participate a whole lot more. So in my situation, if things were to go south, I want to bring the course in, because her on paper, I'm doing. You know what I mean? I'm the type of person, I don't ever see me paying no kind of child support, because I do. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
right.
I think a whole lot of people now, I think a lot of guys or a lot of men are brainwashed that they just automatically got to pay child support, because that's what you, in a sense, taught to do. You know what I mean? And I try to explain to people all the time, if you participate, then you don't have to automatically bow down and say, okay, I'm gonna pay you child support. And I think a lot of guys pay child support and step back just because they pay child support. And they don't even put forth no effort into participation because they pay child support. You know what I mean? But it's just a catch-22 in a sense, you know what I mean? But I do think that as a black male nowadays, if you have kids by somebody and you separate, it just automatically, in more than 50% of the community, say, okay, I'm gonna just pay child support, because that's what we're taught to do.
Right, but with that, you made a good point, because we don't know that actually the men do have rights, and you could get custody.
No, because I had a situation before where me and my wife, now when we were back in our early 20s, we got into a situation and we wasn't married at the time. And when the police came, they told me, saying that we're not married, my child has my name, my last name, told me, saying that we're not married. The mother has primarily custodial custody of the child.
Oh, okay, okay.
That's just what the law says. If you're not married, the mother is automatically the guardian, and you're just the daddy.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But let's say that is the case, and the mother a piece of trash, and the daddy is not. You know what I mean? So she go to court trying to put child support on the kid, and 9 out of 10 you're gonna win. But I think just on this trip, a lot of males will, just since they pay child support, that stops everything else.
Right. Right.
And I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't understand that either, but I think I was more so asking if a couple, let's say they was married and then they got a divorce, does the man have the same rights as the woman? Can the man be like, okay, I want to get custody of the children?
Yeah, legally, yeah. I think legally, if you are married, I think legally you are. I just think that a lot of males don't pursue
that, right?
They don't pursue it. They just take it as what it is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which to me is stupid, because you just saying, okay, that's like getting a warrant. You get a parking ticket and you don't go to court. Now it's 10 times what it should have been.
But let me ask you this, caller. What do you say to, because there's some men that may not be financially in a position where they can, fight it.
Well, I don't think finance has got nothing to do with it, because if you get any ticket nowadays, you go to court, you get a ticket, they say come to court on the first, and you go to court, and you tell the judge, I can't pay the ticket, they'll give you another court date to try and come up with the funds to pay the ticket. You know what I mean? But facts are facts. If you participate in your kid's life, okay, you're doing whatever the case might be, you're doing, you can't take facts away from a situation. You dig what I'm saying? I just don't see. I think as black guys or black males in the world, they'll just take whatever's given to them in this raising a child situation and accept it for what it is. You argue your life away over the basketball game and over the football game, and then they tell you, okay, I got to pay $700 a month in child support, and you only make $1,000 a month on your job, and they accept it. You know what I mean? But you will fight for things 10 times less than that.
Right, because I know I've seen in some situations where there have been men who did want to fight, but it cost them like thousands of dollars just to get the rights. And females, it seems like they don't have to spend that type of money for whatever the case. Like they get people that just fight for
them. I don't necessarily think they have to fight. If you go to court and say, okay, John, this is what I do. I work overnight, and I wake up in the morning, and I go to my ex-wife's house, and I take my kids to school because she has a job. And then I pick my kids up from school and take them home and tell my wife get off work. I don't think that facts can be denied. You know what I mean? I just think that in a situation, a lot of times guys or males are just not doing no more. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Sounds good, caller.
I got a five-man crew, and out of all five of my guys that's in my crew, everybody take care of their kids. But on the other flip, I got four sisters. I'm an only boy of five kids. That out of my four sisters, really ain't none of my sisters' kids' fathers doing much of anything for their kids. You dig what I'm saying?
Right. Right. Yeah.
But I think it's still like a whole lot of other things are still, like he was saying in the beginning of the conversation, that you being brainwashed, everything is just pumped into you to think that this is how it's supposed to be. I think that a lot of guys are feeling like, okay, since I'm paying child support and I hate her guts, I'm just not going to do nothing else. You know what I'm saying? When is that simple as participation? I think participation in the young black male household is being alleviated.
Right, right. Oh, it's being underrated for real, but yeah, that's a good point.
It's the same thing, you know?
Yeah, it's underrated. So, yeah, right on, Carl. You made some good points. Let's try to get another call. But, yes, indeed, we appreciate you. Right on. But that's some good point.
And then, unfortunately, this will have to be the last caller. Area code 314-381. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
I don't know what y'all talking about.
We're talking about co-parenting. What are some of the best ways to co-parent? We had a private conversation, and we wanted to bring this, to the public, to bring it to the family. And we're talking about the best ways that we can co-parent, if the parents are not seeing eye to eye. What are some of the best ways?
Well, I have never experienced that. But I ask this question, where are the grandparents? I mean, is this a functional family? So grandparents are there to assist in the raising of the children anyway. Of course, America has a different culture.
Right, that is true. But look, we know, and especially within the black community or black society, we have some dysfunctions. There's a lot of things that have been going on as far as the family structure. So a lot of times, the grandparents may be doing their thing, or even a lot of times the grandparents may be raising the kids in some situations. So it just be a lot of dynamics that go on when you talk about parents raising kids, and then, the parents not getting along, that creates a whole nother situation. So we're just trying to see, what are some of the best ways to do that to where the child has the best possible environment to be raised in.
Well, You know, any decision is supposed to be made for the benefit of the child, for obvious reasons.
Right.
But here's the point. You made mention of these families' dysfunctionality and so on and so on and so on. They just, these things, situations just have to play themselves out. There's nothing you can do. You can't make people do this or that, really.
True.
So you have this type of dysfunctionality. It's just part of this society. I don't know what to tell you.
That is
yeah, that's
true.
Why we're trying to give people options and better options to deal with these things. Because some people, you know, they deal with the dysfunction in more dysfunctional ways. You know, they don't agree with the other parents, or they want to fight out in public. It gets physical. You know what I mean? And that don't have to be the case.
Well, that provides a certain degree of entertainment nowadays, that people are very anxious to consume themselves with. But like I said before, when you have some of the circumstances that you witness, and I feel sorry for the child myself, what can you do?
Yeah.
You can't make a parent act in a certain way when you don't go through the proper process of choosing your mate. Then you may get a hold of anything, or they may get a hold of anything. So I don't know.
That's what we were saying earlier. Yes, sir.
Yes, indeed. We appreciate
you,
caller. Did you have anything else? Yes,
thank you, caller.
All right. He went back to your original point, Rigel. It goes back to picking a correct mate, especially somebody to lay down with. Again, Dr. Francis Quest Wilson say, when you play with sex, the children, the joke's on the children. So that is big, and that is important, because we play with sex. You know, we don't ask the pertinent questions, like Rigel say. Everybody puts on their best face when they first meet somebody. You know what I'm saying? All relationships start out good in the beginning. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
They start out so good in the beginning. You be like,
right.
Oh, man,
that's how,
this
right.
person
that's
is
how
cool.
More.
Next thing you know, you like, 10 years later, you got a child. You like, I can't stand this bitch.
You was blue. You be blowing my mind. We just be walking and holding hands.
Everything be lovely. The birds be chirping. The flowers be blooming. Next thing you know, you like, I can't stand this mug. What happened?
Yeah. I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. You ignore the signs. You ignore the signs because
the
just because, okay, you guys got together and she was nice and dandy with you, you can't tell me you ain't never seen her clown nobody else. So that means when she get mad at you, that's how she's going to treat you. When she ain't mad at you and every she loves you, yes, it is all good. So that's why you always have to watch for signs. I even tell my kids, pay attention to how they act and treat other people, because that's going to say a lot to how they're going to treat you when they're mad at you. If they loving you, they loving you. But what they going to do when they mad at you or when they don't love you no more? What type of person are you? So
that's right.
We ignore the signs. A lot of times people think, dang, she be tripping. She be going off on her friend and she be doing that. And you don't think that one day that can't be you. So
be blind. Yeah. You remember I said this some years back? Well, it ain't been that year long ago. Remember we were talking about something and I said, blinded by the fineness? That's what happened.
Yeah.
People be blinded by fineness.
Yeah, it'd be something new. It'd be something new, but like Rigel say, the signs always be there, because that's one thing. You know,
you'd be blinded,
but you can't really hide who you are for real. And like she say, the way they treat other people, you can even go to the way they may treat their parents, their mother, their father, the way they talk to siblings. All that stuff
adds up,
and when you start to other people. And when you put two and two together, you see those red flags. But in the beginning, a lot of times we ignore those flags.
You ignore them.
Like, hey, we just didn't get it on.
You
know what I'm saying?
Because it's easy to ignore them because they're nice to you.
Right, right. In the beginning, yes, indeed.
But you don't trip off how they treating somebody else.
Yeah, you don't trip off. He just slapped the hell out of somebody out in the streets. He just slapped somebody
right.
down.
Exactly. As long as he ain't slapping
just,
you,
just
when they slap somebody out in the mall or something, you're like, dang, Trisha be tripping. She smacked the mess out this little girl in the mall. And you're like, okay, that behavior is not cool. You know,
yeah.
But we ignore it if it's not being done to us. Directly.
Baby, why you stomp that dude out? Let me get them blood
right,
off your teams. Teams.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He crazy. Ryan, stomp this boy out. We was at the mall early.
We was at the mall, right. Just don't know. Ryan going to be slapping that neck soon as she trips.
Exactly.
I love
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
But, yeah. So I guess let's try to sum it up. I think what I've learned from this conversation is, you know, try to be preventative in the mate that we choosing. You know what I'm saying? But it's even after the fact. So as far as co-parenting, like I say, I stick to kind of what I said at the beginning. Try to negotiate. Try to come to some type of understanding with that particular parent in order to have the best situation for the child. You know what I'm saying? And I can, you know, sum it up and leave it right there and let y'all go before we close out.
I agree. I'm going to make
all
a plan.
Say? Okay, all right.
I
agree, too, but I want to add something else, too. I'm sorry, Mufasa, are you done?
No, go ahead. No, you good. Go
okay,
ahead.
Yeah, I just want to add something else, too. Like I said before, I'm summing it up with be able to be strong and stand by yourself, because at the end of the day, these are your children.
Boss.
And look at it like that. These are your children. These are my kids are mine, and I'm going to do them. What if the parent wasn't there? So I have
right.
to have my mentality and my position where I'm doing for my kids. If the other parent has that same mentality, guess what? My child wins all the way around. But if not, my
right.
child's still going to win, because I'm still going to do what I have to do for my kids, because, yeah, they asked to be here, but, you know, I still have to take care of them, because I think
right.
they asked to be here when they came.
Right. You
so,
see what that.
Yeah, we had that conversation. We're going
to have
that conversation.
And I'm sticking to it. But one other thing, too, before we close. Just to comment on to what one of the callers said, yeah, it is hard to maybe say, yeah, I'm going to pick the right mate. Yeah, that can be challenging, but you just have to be able to accept if you made an error, too. You know, if you made that error, just like the example you used, the 16-year-old boy that went out and slept with somebody, yeah, he tripped. So if he did that, that's still his fault. He made a big mistake. That's his error. That's something he got to live with for the rest of his life, his mistake, his error, his bad judgment. But, yeah, it can be hard, but it can be done. And you just have to be okay with knowing how to do it.
That's right.
And get it done and do it the right way. It can be done, yeah,
that's
hard
right.
and all, but, yeah. So, again, thank everybody for calling in. We appreciate you. Appreciate the support.
Yes,
tune
indeed.
In next week, next Sunday, 6 p.m., 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, if you have any show topic ideas, please don't hesitate to hit us up, collectivemindyahoo.com. Find us on all the social media outlets, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you name it.
Oh, yeah, next week.
See you next week.
Next, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earn, we about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's old or a new point, call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talkin'.
We talkin' like we walkin'.
collective mind. Yeah, they gon' feel this.